picking one of the members and how they're heading as Chris.
So I'd like to call the meeting of Town of Scobie Bay to order. If you could all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Is that your roll call?
Thank you. This time is public comment. Do we have anybody in the system making a comment before the board?
Yes.
Ryan, please.
Well, on behalf of the Scobie Alliance Club, we want to present the town of Scobie, specifically the community center, with the check. As most of you know, we had the Summer Jam event over Saturday, last weekend. It was completely, probably one of the most successful events that I've been a part of in a long time. Certainly, the Lions Club can't even take half the credit. This would not have been possible if not for the amazing support and amazing contribution that I got from the community center. Quite frankly, it's easy to raise the money, but the logistics behind putting an event on is voluminous. And so really at the end of the day, the accolades really need to go to Monica Gallo, and I hope the town recognizes her, because certainly this event would not have happened without her organizational skills. But with that being said, we raised $6,500 and we're happy to present it to the community center, and hopefully this allows you guys to take care of some necessary items that you need right away.
Thank you.
Thank you. We certainly look forward to more of those successful events.
Well, we have another one September 23rd, so.
I'm giving you the opportunity.
Yeah. And quite honestly, there was an incredible amount of synergy between the Lions Club and the community center that, to me, this should be an ongoing event, and hopefully we can make it so.
Great. Thank you very much, Ray. Any other public comments?
One more. And I want to add real quickly that Bill Mayer has already agreed to help with the September event. So I'd love to see all of you there. Yeah. Maybe we can double that money. I just want to bring up, we were talking about, you know, the fact that the town really needs money to support the needs of this community center. And when we were doing the dog park, we went ahead and had a donor board. And that literally sold out just like that. So I just brought information on some donor boards and the possibility of coming up with that same theme. Right here, if there's ever a new center built, could easily be moved. It might be a great way to raise money. So I'm going to, with your blessing, give this to Monica, and if you want to walk with the time, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I will close public comment, and we will move to the consent calendar.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
We move in second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Agency reports. Supervisor Burgess.
Hello, good evening, everybody. My name is Alicia Knuckles, and I'm here on behalf of Supervisor Diane Burgess. And I have a couple of updates for you. Our office did have some complaints in regards to certain streets or areas that were having some striping that is not in the streetway anymore. It's faded or it's been removed via work. And so we've been working with PG&E. They will be out to re-stripe and paint the areas that's within their scope of work by the end of next week. And then whatever's not in their scope of work, the county maintenance department will come out and stripe and mark those back up to regular status so that it's safe for everybody. One of the other things I wanted to announce is that the county supervisor, as well as with the recommendation of the Discovery Bay Sheriff's P6 committee, has received and secured funding for a CSO's car, so he will now have his own car. He won't have to be sharing with anybody else the township. So that's a really and one of the other things that's kind of new, and some of you may know this and some not, we handle complaints for the unincorporated communities within the district. And one that we've seen arise in is dog barking. I know it sounds silly, but people leave their homes maybe in the morning and their dogs bark all day long. And sometimes if you live here and on the water, it carries over the water. And so we get a lot of complaints, but not just within Discovery Bay, throughout the unincorporated area. So on May 23rd, the Board of Supervisors did approve a dog barking, well, actually any noisy animal ordinance, but primarily it's going to cover the dog barking issue. Animal services, this will allow animal services to go out, assess the situation. Most likely, they're going to provide a warning on the first time, but if it's a consistent problem, this allows them to provide administrative fines to the homeowners to resolve the issue. So that, because there's also a concern with if the dog's barking all day, there could be an issue, and if it's hot, I mean, there could be a danger to the pet as well. So just wanted to let you know that was recently passed. And one of the last things I have, or actually the last thing that I have, is we would like to invite everybody, I have some postcards here, I'm going to pass them out to you guys as well, to the Orwood Bridge ribbon cutting. It's Tuesday, June 27th at 10 a.m. So the county has repaired and replaced that bridge. I'm sure if you travel over it, over the last couple of years, you've had some delays. And we are happy to say that it is now open. So we'd love for you to come and enjoy this and celebrate the new bridge. That's it. Any questions for me?
Just one. We did not have an ordinance on barking dogs prior to this one.
On the striping, what do you think?
Let me clarify that. Animal services would come out and communicate with the homeowner or the pet owner in regards to it and try to take steps to get them, but there was actually no punitive damages, you know, tied to them to make them actually take care of it.
So who would they call if there is an issue?
Animal services. And if you'd like to write that number down, it's 608-8400. Don't call
the
sheriff, call
Hamilton. On the county's part of the striping, when do you think they will be on?
They're hoping to come out the following week. So if PG is done by the end of next week, the following week. And if that part is to change for any reason, I'll give my call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Sheriff's Office report. Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Last month, calls for service in the Discovery Bay area for us was 629, which the month before was 429, so quite a few more calls. We took 62 reports last month, compared to the month before was at 46. So we're a little bit busier. Obviously, it got a little warmer, summertime, more people are out. Just looking at the calls, the reports that were taken there, I know somebody mentioned earlier about the resident leaves and the citations being written and keeping track of that. We're in the process working with the lieutenant and resident deputies, and what we're going to have to start doing is just manually keeping track of it. That's the best way for us to do that. Because a lot of times, not to get too technical, but when an officer makes contact with somebody, whether it's their contact, called in, or whatever the case may be, they have to code that call out. And for an officer to pull a vehicle over, it might not be a traffic stop code all the time. If they find something or if there's something that escalates higher to that, then it will be coded out on that. So it's not a true number of that. So we'd have to manually track and have the traffic deputies do that. Every traffic stop they do is cycle. So that's what we're working on, getting that in the process with the resident deputies to keep track on that because of the what they do out here in this country. Some of the activities that we had, May 16th, we had a crime watch slash community meeting over at Texas Community Kitchen, partnership with the chamber on that. I think a few folks came out. We had a couple of vendors out and stuff too. Not a lot of folks came out, just a handful, which tells me that, like I told them, don't think bad about that, because if you don't have the public coming out but meet me to talk about crime out here, they're happy. They must be happy. Or else they come out and we can discuss what's going on and stuff. What's coming up for us, we have our RAD Kids program June 19th to 23rd here, 0900 to 11 in the morning, ages 5 to 7-year-olds, Monday night next week and Tuesday night next week. I'll be here at 6 p.m. If you know anyone that has little kids, 5 to 7-year-old, boy or girl, tell the parents to come out that night if they're interested in having their kid come to the RAD Kids summer camp. It's going to be a fun week. We're going to talk about a lot of safety for the kids, internet safety, bullying prevention, personal safety. We're going to cover a gamut of stuff for these kids. I've got the fire department online, PCHP will be out too. We're looking for AMR, we're looking for Marine Patrol K-9 will be out here, so it's going to be a fun week for the kids. It's 2 hours, Monday through Friday, the 19th and 23rd. If you know anybody with the 5 to 7 year old range for kids, come to come out Monday, Tuesday night, come with me. Meet me here. I'll give them the forms that they need to fill out so their child can attend. Please pass that along. Right now, I'm looking at about 20 kids from just one email sent out, so I'm going to try to keep it around 25, 30 max for the kids. So. Everything else okay? Any questions for you guys?
Yeah, thank you very much for responding to one question on citations. Can we look forward to next month having you give us a report on the citations?
We can. It's just a matter of having the officers manually start tagging. Of course, we're how many days in for this month? But we'll do our best to start going in that end. Being something new, it's just something that the officers are going to have to remember. That's right. Kind of put a note on, especially if they're in the middle of dealing with something that might slip their mind. How accurate the count's going to be, I don't know, but we'll do our best to give you the numbers.
We just couldn't get it wrong.
I understand.
Yeah, back on May 10th, there was a robbery. Have you guys been able to catch that spawner?
The, which one you're talking about?
Highway 4. In the shopping center.
It's the one at the cafe where they went in through the,
Spiders.
Yeah, went into the roof and kind of tore the whole place up, trying to get the safe off. I don't think, yeah, there's no cameras or nothing in that. They couldn't get anything off of the other cameras from the shopping center.
Any questions? Thank you, Tony.
All right,
CHP report. Officer Thomas.
Officer Thomas with the Highway Patrol. So for the last month's stats, for the month of May, what we have is, arrest-wise, we had 60 UI arrests, 2 arrests for a warrant, 1 arrest for a hit-and-run, non-injury, 1 for a suspended license, and 1 for a probation violation. So that's the number of arrests we have. The cites that were issued last month, 7 speeding citations, 8 for registration violations, 2 for seatbelt, 2 for stop sign, 1 for improper passing, 5 for the rules of the road, like U-turn and stuff like that, 4 other miscellaneous cell phone, and 2 equipment violations for a total of 81 citations. Last month I came out here, I did kind of hit it hard out here. I didn't have a lot of fans because I was citing, if you're 10 over, you're getting a ticket out here. We have a lot of complaints to try to get. We discussed before about getting that speed level back up and stuff. So. Hopefully, this month we can start doing the same thing.
You will be knocked over people other than those that you had those contacts.
Yes, I got all a few choice words and where I could go.
Dr. Thomas, I know I don't mean to put you on the spot because I think you write all this stuff down. But the 67 speeding tickets, do you know where the majority of those were written?
How many what?
Do you know where the majority of those were written?
The majority of the ones I wrote, I did a lot on Newport. You on Flipper, and I was out here in front of Willow Lake. I did some in front of the school right there. So I say Newport was the first. Willow Lake there by the school would be the second one in line. Probably Flipper would be the third, and then Discovery Bay Boulevard. I did some out there.
Great, thank you. And then Discovery Bay Boulevard, do you hang around mostly in 40 mile an hour zone?
Or no, you go the rest? I'm in the 25, so I'm working the 25. So.
Thank you.
When there's an arrest, where does that take you out of action to take the person all the way to jail, or does it have somebody come out? Does the sheriff come get them off?
No. So if I arrest someone for DUI, depending on certain elements that are met, if it's like a misdemeanor DUI, we do have an option to cite and release if they meet certain criteria. So if we do that, then we'll take them. A lot of times, I utilize Brentwood PD their room there. And then I can have someone come pick them up. If they don't need that, then yes, you're basically out of service and you have to put them on Martinez jail.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys have any questions for me?
All right.
Also, just remember this, I'd like to introduce Greg Britton. He's with the Department of Fish and Game.
Yeah.
Come on, John. He'd like to say hello.
How you guys doing? My name's Greg Ritten, and I wanted to come to the meeting because I live in this town, so I've been here for about going on 10 years now. But as of November, I actually took over the borough location in all of East County. So when you see a black truck that has a star on the side, that's me. I know it gets everybody's attention because they don't know what the heck it is. But I'm also another agency out here. I know Donnie really well. I always have. I back him up all the time because there's not many of us out here, and even the resident deputies. Going back for quite some period of time when Spalding was out here, I backed him up a lot, and just I think it's really important to join that brotherhood that we have and watch each other's back at all times. So, and the difference between us is we work out of our homes. So our office is our home. So everything, my uniform, my work, everything's at our home. So it's also good to know. And I'm really close with the Marine Patrol. I go on their boats, I work with them. We helped out with the Delta Blitz here out of Discovery Bay on Memorial Weekend. And we'll do from, I'm not sure what county's next, but usually July, 4th of July weekend will be either Sac County or San Joaquin, so there'll be three blitzes like there is every year. So I've helped out with that for probably 8 or 9 years now. So I've brought cards, my cards, has all my information. If you guys have questions, comments, concerns, since I am a resident, I'm on next door too. So my name, when you see the game warden thing, it's usually me. That usually comes up. It's come up a couple times. My wife gets kind of a chuckle out of that. So, but I don't know if you guys, I know it's a little bit different agency, but especially in a small community like this, we definitely work a lot with each other. And then as it comes later on in the year, that's been activity, not just fishing, but as you know, in East County, hunting does come into play, and dove hunting, the sheriff department, and us work highly, really close together when it comes to September 1st. Other than that, I don't know if you guys have any other questions.
I just want to thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
And you're always welcome. If there's issues that the community should know about, feels free to come. There's a microphone.
Okay.
Did you say you brought business cards?
I did.
Could I get one of those for me?
Yep. I can give them to everybody, and then I can leave them on the desk or whatever, that way anybody has them and try to help out. I'm trying to, one thing that we had kind of an issue back when we first started out here, a lot of law enforcement went on different radio frequencies and changed the radio frequencies, including the county. And we've actually been working with the sergeant to try to get me to have communication out here again. Because I used to be able to scan, and that way I can monitor if something's going on, or if I'm working in a particular area and I hear units coming from Bethel Island and I'm 2 minutes away, you know. And yeah. So, yeah. Is there any other questions or that you guys might have for me? Or
I just want, like, what's the biggest challenge in East County for you?
Well, now from the assignment that I was in before, it's a lot of it's new. A lot of it has to do with our larger violations, or what we call stream bed violations, so within creeks, any type of construction within a creek bed. That's really big with us right now. In this part of the county, I mean, you have all the delta system. So the fisheries, I mean, I probably have one of the busiest districts when it comes to the fisheries, coming from Clifton Court, Four Bay, to all the way up. I mean, technically on paper, my position is Brentwood, so I cover all of East County and West County, all the way to the 160 bridge. But my unit, my squad has, there's five of us that cover pretty much all of Alameda and Contra Costa County. So, like, I can get a call tomorrow to Livermore and be over there all day. So it just kind of varies, so, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Moving on to no liaison reports, presentations, California Consulting, Mr. General Manager.
Yes, staff has been concerned that our town may be missing out on some potential grant opportunities because we don't have the time or resources to effectively hunt them down, apply, and manage them. So we brought out the big guns, and we put Sue Heinel, and tasked her with finding a remedy for this. So she is here to bring you up to date on grants.
Okay, well, research was done to find a grant writing service that would fit the town's budget and needs. And after evaluation of the various firms, we took our findings to the Internal Operations Committee. And they, along with staff, chose California Consulting as the best consultant of the group. And so it's my pleasure to introduce to you tonight Stephen Sanger with California Consulting. And he's got a short presentation to bring you up to speed on all of his all our services.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. As a lifelong Warriors fan, I'm going to do my best to keep this presentation short. Thanks for Sue and Carol for having me. We'll go over this brief slideshow presentation about what we do, the services we provide, and how we can help you with this current event. We were founded in 2004 as a firm solely committed to doing grant advisory, municipal grant advisory, and grant writing services for public agencies all over California, school districts, community college districts, community facility districts like yourself, cities, counties, the whole gamut. Researching and writing grants for federal, state, and local funding sources and nonprofits. We don't just do municipalities, we also go out and find nonprofit money for our clients. We've secured over $1.5 billion in grant and financing nonprofits as well for our clients. If you go to the next slide, we've been awarded over 750 grants. That's pretty significant for a firm of our size. We have 20 grant writers who write specifically for our clients, and staff with about 12 full-time personnel. We were started by former assemblymen who realized that the grant writing process was very cumbersome and convoluted to a lot of municipalities. They didn't understand how the process works. So it's a conduit between the federal government and the state to get in those pools of money that are awarded. We go on to the next one. We start, and I think we're already at that point where we're under retainer with you. We start with a needs assessment. We don't just go out and search for money. We find the money that goes with particular projects that you have in mind, capital projects. We also look for grants that also may help you with your general fund budget as well. We provide current grant opportunities that meet, after we do the needs assessment, to match those funding sources and what your needs are. If you have a community facility you'd like to fund, wastewater treatment, soccer, baseball field, we go out and search for grants that match or you are eligible for. We don't send you on a wild goose chase for something that you wouldn't be awarded a grant for. We create a timeline and schedule to ensure that the grants are submitted correctly, and we write all your grants. That is a particular benefit to you. Unless you have a relationship, and I'll get into that into the next slide, with these agencies, it's a competitive grant process. You don't know what they're looking for. You don't know how they score that grant. We do. We have relationships with state and federal staff. We understand what they're looking for and why they're trying to fund grants. Sometimes they say one thing and then they're realizing they want to fund a grant for a particular purpose. We'll talk about that as well. We go on to the next one. We give you hands-on. We're with you all the time. We review the applications prior to submitting them. I can tell you horror stories about grant deadlines that were missed on federal agencies' websites because the individual didn't submit them on time, or they spelled something incorrectly. We don't do that. We've never had those issues. We won't, because we're looking out for you guys. We monitor the funding agency. This is back to what I was telling you about having relationships with the agency. We just don't just know that the Department of Water Resources has a grant available. We know the executive director and the staff person responsible for it in Sacramento. Or in the case of federal grants with HUD and housing, we know the staff people at HUD locally in San Francisco who are in charge of reviewing your applications. Our retainer clients provided monthly reports to reflect grants in progress, grants submitted, and grants awarded. We keep in touch with Sue and your staff regularly so you know where we are in the grant process. Steve Samuelian is our founder. Their bios and things on the next slide. Go ahead and skip this one. There they are, beautiful people. On to the next one. you can look at their particular resource. I think these are things that we want to point out. You can see that the grants that were awarded range for something as small as $24,000 for washing machine rebate program. But in the town of Yuba City, it's a big deal. It's water conservation, and it's something that they provide on behalf of their constituents. And then if we go up to the top slide, or the next slide, excuse me, we look at the city of Atlanta. This wastewater treatment project was instrumental for them. They were short funding. They knew it was a large capital project compared to their entire capital improvement project budget. And this grant allowed them to proceed with this project. It was a huge, huge undertaking for them, and it allowed them to get this project done. Again, we know how to write these grants. We know what they're looking for. And because of that, they're able to proceed with the wastewater revolving fund grant. Next one. Here's your return on investment. We'll talk about that. Oftentimes, people, one thing that you as a board want to look at is, how long does it take to write these grants, and what would that equate to the staff time budget? That's always a question. We never promise that you will be awarded a grant. Our percentage of winning grants is fairly high, and the amounts you get are probably right in the range of what we anticipate. The issue is, what you pay us to write these grants and help manage the grant process is well above what you would spend for staff time and resources. To bring somebody on board, to pay them either part-time or full-time, to actually do this. And it doesn't stop there. It's grant monitoring, so you don't get in trouble on the other side, because once you're awarded the grant, you're not done. You need to monitor the grants, do all the paperwork, and the compliance. You have to pay a staff person a significant amount of time to be able to do that. So on to the next one. Some of the grants that right now, they're potentially applicable, but we would go through this in your needs assessment. California Energy Grants, Efficiency Partnership Grants. Go to the next one. Soccer grants, those are very popular. Those are very popular constituents as well. Hey, look, we just improved our youth soccer league. We just got upgraded our facilities here. So now we have more teams or better facilities or host a tournament that we hadn't hosted before. On the next one. Environmental, go to the next one. Affordable housing, this is also energy and reducing pollution and air quality, as well as just the actual construction or keeping people in affordable housing. And then the last one, baseball funding. Baseball Tomorrow grant is huge. Everybody's a very, very popular grant right now. And it's also good for constituents to get those grants. And I think there's one more. Yeah, sports equipment, also the same. People need to fund these facilities with capital equipment, and these grants help that as well. And I think that is the last one. Happy to answer your questions, but I think the one thing for you as a board, the whole return on investment and grant monitoring, winning the awarding, getting grants awarded, and making sure that you're not doing things that would make the states get you in trouble, get the grant pulled back, not get the grant on time, do the grant application and write it correctly. You don't want to. And that's our expertise.
So I see you have soccer and baseball, we have swimming.
Those are potential grants. It would depend on who's authoring those grants and if they're applicable to you. And we have to look at that. That's all part of the needs assessment. So if you needed swimming help, we would try and find a swimming grant.
And these are not only government grants, but also private foundation grants as well.
Foundation and nonprofits are not always, sometimes they're private, family foundations and nonprofit, larger institutional grants. And if those are applicable as well, we'll try and find those grants for you as well, not just government agencies.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I've got a couple, if
that's
all right. We're a CSD, and we consist of three county zones and two town zones. Are you able to write grants for all the zones that we cover?
Absolutely, and generally those grants, and some of the ones they're in your packet, identify those as eligible entities. They're usually special districts as well, so, yeah.
And do we give you a wish list?
You can work through your town staff and district staff and let them know what those are. They probably want to prioritize. And that's another thing. In the needs assessment, we would identify which ones are available currently or at least what we think could be written in a timely fashion. Otherwise, you're just throwing a dart and like, oh, we got to get a grant written. No, we do this strategically. Which ones we can get done quickly, which ones is a bigger, you know, bigger pie that we chase after, and then what we need to do to prepare for the larger grants that may take longer or we know are coming online in the next 6 months or a year, so that we know it takes X number of days or months to write that grant, and then prepare for that. So that's all part of the strategy that we need to set.
Do you have the opportunity to monitor other people who are applying for these grants to sort of maybe gauge what our opportunities are and where we might put more of our resources versus others that maybe are competitive to a point that the town would not need?
That's a great question. And they are competitive grants. And because we know staff at these agencies, we're able to identify the competitiveness based on past, you know, experiences. They may tell us, wait, we've already received X number, now it's competitive, they can't, you know, let disclose certain information. But they can say, we've already gotten 10, we're likely going to fund 8, wait to the next cycle. Maybe that's 3 months away, maybe 6. So that's all part of having relationships with the funding agencies.
And there's also, isn't there a strategic approach that if you go after one grant, you might get it, but it precludes you from another grant?
We identify those hiccups, and that's the benefit of hiring a firm like this. We'll keep you out of that.
Okay.
Well, we'll do our best.
Thank you.
Well, one last question.
Yes.
How soon would we get a list of available grants to apply for?
That's the needs assessment that will be kicked off, I believe, soon, the first week of July. Yep. We would have somebody come locally and meet with district staff and hit the ground running with identifying this.
Sure. Thank you very much.
If you had two clients applying for the same grant, how does that work?
We rarely get into those situations, and we would try and avoid that. We have grant writers. If you are a priority, we write the grant for you. There's maybe somebody down south who's also, you know, it's a statewide agency and we're headquartered in Southern California. There may be, you know, Hermosa Beach, you saw that up there, that is writing one. We would talk in-house amongst our grant writers to identify if there's anything that would negatively impact our clients. We talk in-house. But that's not a problem.
That doesn't happen to you.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Any questions?
We're good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you
having
me. Look forward to very much.
Now we have a presentation from Irwin Engineering and Veolia Water. Mr. General Manager.
Yes, I'd like to bring them up to bring you up to date on a plan for Plant 1 and how our capital plan is going to mesh with their plan for wastewater Plant 1. So, gentlemen.
Yes, Gregory Harris, Irwin Engineering, I'm District Engineer.
Oh, Veolia.
So, we had a lot of transition last year or so, and one of the things that kind of fell through the cracks when that happened was, you know, what are we supposed to be doing with Plant 1 now that we brought Plant 2 online with the second oxidation ditch? The original master plan had intended that its facilities would all be maintained for reliability and redundancy, but they didn't need to be operated right that second. And then when budgeting came around, repair items for Plant 1 sort of kind of disappeared in the budget last year. And that was a concern of mine, concern of Veolia's. And after the new district manager arrived, we voiced those concerns and said, you know, we need to address this as part of the new CIP. And together, we worked with Virgil, Bernie, and myself, and we've come up with a decent plan for Plant 1. We've reduced the amount of repair items that we think are truly necessary, and we've managed to figure out a way that we can operate the plant a couple times a year and make sure that everything's functioning properly when you need it. And we're going to do that by taking reclaimed water from Plant Number 2 over to Plant Number 1, and part of our repair items in this current CIP budget that Dina has, in her budget, we have some repair items for Plant 1. We've staged them out over the next 5 years to make it palatable, and staged some of the more critical ones a little bit later when we're planning on taking the plants down for denitrification projects. Meantime, early on, we're going to bring reclaimed water from Plant 2 over to Plant 1 so we can fill up the plant and operate it a couple times a year and make sure that all the equipment functions and then repair items that are broken. So that's generically what we've done, and I'll let Bernie throw it off.
Yeah, so we went through the process over Plant 1 and got itemized what was the most critical we needed it now. So we itemized it according to need now and in the future. So an example would be right now, if something critically failed, would be the clarifier. We would need clarifier 1, so we want to focus on clarifiers first and the head works with the odor control. And then next CIP, 2 years from now, we'll look at a different area in the plant and then streamline it over the next couple of years to get what's needed at Plant 1 and also budgetary to meet those needs. And by adding, we can add, since we're going into Title 22 and using our reclaimed water at Plant 1 instead of using fresh water, if you do that operation, it would be use water that you don't have to pay for.
So that's a big item. One of the issues that came up was how do we exercise the plant? Because pumps need to pump, motors need to run, the sensors need to sense, computers need to run, or you don't know they're not broken, right? So how we figured that out was to use the reclaimed water from plant number 2, bring it over to plant number 1. It takes about 1.5 million gallons of water to fill up plant number 1 to get it to run, and then when we're done, then you get rid of that water. But we didn't want to use Pablo water, and we wasted Pablo water for that. So, and then we've created a method where we can automate that process so it's not a burden. It's not a burden to make this happen. And then it'll be a lot easier to do.
Yes, and by using the number 3 water at Plant 1, it doesn't affect our process at Plant 2. Transfer and rinse liquor, that could upset the system and cause a violation. We continue to maintain one Plant 2 well efficiently and also test and Plant 1 a couple times a year.
Without getting into the weeds, how do you get the water from Plant 2 back over to Plant 1? Is there piping that...
Yeah, there's an existing pipeline that was built for several purposes, a multi-purpose pipeline, and we'll be able to go backwards to that pipe. There'll be some little changes at each end, which is part of the project, but generically, the pipe is already in place.
So when you bring the reclaimed water out of Plant 1, is it still, it meets all the requirements to go back?
The reclaimed water out of Plant 1 will probably take to the lagoon in Plant 1, let it perk in and let it evaporate since we're on doing it twice a year.
You feel that you only need to excise plant, say, twice a year?
Yeah, we'll run it twice a year for a couple of weeks. Bernie still monitors things. I mean, we still do equipment checks. But, stuff like pump seals and other devices need to be exercised for a while. And, we'll start there and see how it goes. But I think if we hit it a couple times a year, maybe it's 3 weeks instead of 2 or something. But I think that'll make sure that the equipment's there for you. The whole purpose of Plant 1, right now your flows are low. We talked about this last time when I brought up a discussion on filters. Your flows are lower than they were. Well, your flows are low now, so we don't need to turn on Plant 1, but we don't want it to go away either. You don't want to mothball it or just let it deteriorate, right? I think operating it a couple times a year and then fixing the things that do need to be fixed. And we know there's some clear things that have to be fixed there. Fixing those things and operating a couple times a year, I think will make sure that it's in reasonably good shape for you if there was an emergency now. And then you will need Plant 1 to implement the denitrification project. Because when you implement the denitrification project, we've got to start turning ditches off and moving water around and stuff like that. So you can't pull off denitrification later without Plant 1. And if there's an emergency now, as long as all the equipment operates, the mixed liquors can be moved over, raw water can be moved over. We just want to make sure all the equipment's going to function.
Currently, on a monthly basis, we exercise everything dry. We run the clarifier, the hot air. But this way we can put it on the load at least a couple times a year, a couple, 3 weeks off, and run under the load.
And Greg, also, one of the key factors to this is it keeps us in compliance with our permit, correct?
Yes, that is correct. When we expanded Plant 2, it was built for two reasons. One was a little additional capacity and redundancy. And then we notified the regional board, hey, we did all this. And they changed our permit to 2.37 MDD. We said, good job. Okay, well, it's implied that we're going to take care of the equipment. You know what I'm saying? So you can't go to the regional board, get a flow increase, and then turn off the plant and not make it. So yes, that's a good point.
Thank you. Another question is, you're bringing the pump, if you have a pipe that you can utilize to bring the reclaimed water, right?
Yeah.
Is there sufficient flow to be able to tap into that and send it to other locations on this side of Highway 40?
Well, it depends on where you want to do it. It crosses Highway 4, goes up to Plant 1, and depending on how much flow. Right now, we can get about 300 or 400 gallons a minute, which is because we calculated out, you know, if we try to use like some of the potable water line, we have like a 2-inch potable water line to fill 1.5 million gallons, it takes like 9 days or something like that, you know what I'm saying? So this can fill it in about 9 hours. So that, or you know, maybe one day, that's the maximum. So the reality is the pipe is there. If there is identified use, you know, we could probably finagle, you know, something.
Just for one example might be that we offer potable water, not potable, but reclaimed water to residents.
We certainly could do that. Two important factors. When I talked about the filter project last time, we're building the physical facilities to make Title 22 reclaimed, unrestricted reclaimed water. However, you have to go through a permit cycle, and you know, you have to certify as a Title 22 plant before you can get to the public. So the hardware, I would say, is near in place to accomplish that. The political will to, all right, let's go get certified, let's write an engineer's report, let's get all the operators trained, you know, to, you know, because there's some little training things, and you have to go notify the public, and you have to tell them what you need for, because of process. But certainly it will come down to just when you decide you want to run through the process, then you'd be able to run through the process. But we couldn't do it by that day's notice. We need like 6 months to go turn that.
Questions from the board? Any public questions for the presenters? Thank you very much. Very good report. Business and action items, memorandum of understanding with the Discovery Bay Garden Club, the general manager.
I'm going to turn this one over to Matt to give you an update on our butterfly way station.
Thank you. Good evening. The Discovery Bay Garden Club has proposed the creation of a monarch butterfly way station in the town of Discovery Bay to be located here at the community center. The selection of the community center site makes this an ideal location as it is centrally located near elementary school, having the potential of becoming a favorite place for science teachers to take their students on a field trip when related to studying the process of metamorphosis. The Discovery Bay Garden Club and the town of Discovery Bay have determined that at this time it would be to their mutual advantage and public benefit to cooperate in the creation of a monarch butterfly way station at the Discovery Bay Community Center. Staff has created a memorandum of understanding between the Discovery Bay Garden Club and the town outlining the terms and conditions of this partnership. Now complete, staff is recommending the authorization for the general manager to enter into the memorandum of understanding between the town of Discovery Bay and the Garden Club. And tonight we have a special treat. I do have April McBeth, who's the current president of the Discovery Bay Garden Club here. So if you have a technical butterfly question, refer to her.
No.
So anyway, any questions?
Okay, so since I don't know much about life sciences, it wasn't my forte in school.
Okay.
Is it like if you build it, they will come? Or, I mean, if you... Just because we designated that, what attracts the butterflies?
Send them an email.
Come on up.
Send them an email, and they show up.
Actually,
put it on Nextdoor.
We have little maps.
Put it on Nextdoor, and they'll show up, right?
Want to go outside and see the dirt? Our motto is, if we build it, they will come. So yes, that's what we're hoping. If you put in enough plants, we've got 30 plants out there. 2 different kinds of milkweed, 10 each. I didn't bring the
the diagram with me, but
that's okay.
It's massive. All the plants are in except for a few of the second kind of milkweed that we need. They're on order. They should be here soon. In case we don't get the right kind, then we've got some starters starting in one of our members' garage. We put the sign in. We're very excited about it. Boy Scouts have done a great job digging holes out there and fixing your, adding to your drip system. Ryan has been a huge help, and Matt. We're very excited about this program. We've got one sign out there now. The other one is on back order through the Monarch Way Station Watch Program. And I guess it's almost an endangered species. We're just that close to losing our butterflies. So they're all over the country, these way stations are going up. And I guess it's a lot because they're back ordered on the signs. But we will add the second sign out there when we get it.
Was that presuming that the butterflies read signs? None.
Yes, yes.
Just being.
And if you will come Saturday at noon, we're going to send up.
That's awesome.
We're going to send up a sign for the butterflies to know that the plants are here, now they should come visit. It will take, seriously, it'll take several months, maybe a year,
very
before
good.
We really can see an influx. But it should happen.
If I can just add in the backyard, I have three bushes that are called butterfly bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we had dozens, if not hundreds, of monarchs that came.
Very cool.
Well, now we'll take the sign possible. Over to your house. With a
they
little
made
arrow.
Just branch out.
An arrow. I like it.
This way.
I like her.
Very good. Nature has a way of letting them find the location.
Yes. We would really like it if one or all of you could come for a little quick photo op at noon on Saturday to, you know, put this out to the community, and the press says they'll be here, but if not, we'll have it done. Like 10 minutes, noon on Saturday, if you could make it.
So I'm out of town, but maybe one of those
it's a tough time with graduations, but we give it a shot.
Yeah.
Tell the graduates to wait.
Tell the teachers to wait.
Any questions?
Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Great. Any questions or comments from the board? Any
like
public comment? Hearing none. Do I hear a motion to authorize the general manager to sign the MOU?
I would make the motion that we take staff's recommendation.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item two, discuss possible stationary electric sign.
Yes, this item concerns electronic sign boards. This matter has gone to committee where we have narrowed down site locations to three. Staff is seeking from the board a move forward decision on one or more specific site locations and to approve associated expenditures in amounts not to exceed $40,000 for one or $80,000 for two. There are pros and cons associated with each site, which ignites different opinions as to what's the best location when weighed against what's the most achievable location. Kelly has been working on this project for the last couple of months, and she is here tonight to give you a short presentation on the options.
Highlight some of the key considerations to take into consideration when figuring out which type of sign you want, locations, or different specifics to go along with each one. So here is an artist drawing from Stewart Signs, the company who is the manufacturer of the signs, showing what it would look like. It would be about 8 feet by 8 feet with an actual, the sign itself would be about 5 by 8 feet. And this is showing a full color version of the sign. Here there is a red text only that's right here in town at the Timber Point School. I don't know if you're familiar with that site. And then there's another version, which is the full color text, just showing how they differentiate. As far as readability, obviously the faster you drive by, the harder it is to read. So this gives you a chart and an example they gave that says that if you have 1-4 lines of text, so you can have 4 rows of text at 5.5 inches, or 1 row that's 25 inches tall. And typically they ask that you have about 5 seconds to read a full 8-inch text. So any of the locations that have been suggested would fall within those parameters. So here's the first one at the community center, which is a 40-mile-an-hour zone, and showing where it would just replace the existing sign that's on the property. Here's the corner of Bixler and Highway 4. That comes some other issues that we need extra permitting through Caltrans and possibly a CEQA. And then here, which is a location where the temporary message board tends to be put up periodically, right outside of Wells 4 on Discovery Bay Boulevard. And here's a cost breakdown. It's a one-sided color, one side red only, two-sided full color, or double-sided red only. So they are offering a 5% discount if you choose to purchase more than one sign at a time.
So thanks, Kelly, and stand by. So the issue is with the three site locations, is one, if we were to choose Bixler and Highway 4, first of all, you have some impediments there. The cons are you've got the poles that are in front of it, and you have to deal with with Caltrans because you need permitting because it's bordering the highway, and we don't know what the electrical's like there. When we construct these things, correct me if I'm wrong, we buy the sign from the company, then we have to contract with somebody to install the sign, and they deal with the permitting. But then you also have to have a separate electrical engineer run the electrical out to make sure that you have electric to the sign. So you've got those three issues on top of how accessible is the property. Now, Bixler Road and Highway 4, as one of the considered locations, we don't own that property. That's county property as best that we can tell. So we are going to run into some hardship there in dealing with that issue. When it comes to Wellsite 4, the issue becomes, are we going to run into some county issues in terms of setback from the signs on how it affects motorists on Discovery Bay Boulevard, et cetera, along with, as part of that permitting process. But we think the electrical is going to be fairly, fairly easy to get strewn there. But we've also heard that would be an unsightly location, that the minute you turn down Discovery Bay Boulevard, wham, you've got this electronic sign forever in your face as soon as you come into Discovery Bay proper. So that makes it a difficult choice. The other choice, out here in front of the community center, the advantages are we own the land, we believe the electrical is going to be fairly simple to get there, just becomes a matter of the permitting process through the county, and we probably have quite a bit of room for any setbacks that need to take place. The con there is we reach far less residents by messaging it this far inside town. So the type of sign that we get, whether you have it visible on both sides of the sign, for example, or color, can kind of depend on the location that we choose. And so we're coming to the board to say we need some direction on this because of the differing opinions on this, and that there's going to be quite a lot of investment in time once we pull the trigger on a specific location, and to just kind of shotgun all three and come up with some good, plausibles on that is just kind of unrealistic for us at this point. So we turn it over to you.
Before you turn that over to me, where's the funding coming for this sign, should it be approved?
Where the funding is coming from is out of water and wastewater, and probably a small little bit out of our lighting and landscaping, because the primary reasons for the sign are for town emergencies, messaging regarding some of the water conservations, their wastewater issues. That's the main purpose for the sign.
Perfect, thank you. Director Graves, you can't.
You're anxious, right? You can see it right now.
No, I'm kind of in a quandary from the standpoint that we have very little information. Well, first of all, I don't see how putting the sign out here on the boulevard is going to give us any less trouble than, or how putting the sign down by well four is going to give us any more trouble than putting it out here, because it's still going to be on the side of the road. It's still going to be a right-of-way problem, unless you move it onto this side of, away from the road far enough that you're no longer on the easement, because there's an easement here, just like there is down there. My only concern about putting the sign at the community center is we're looking for a sign that's going to inform the public of what occurs within the town. Whether, you know, how many times we had those temporary signs been going a lot down there with regards to the blue-green algae, with regards to conservation, with regards to all these other things that seem to occur fairly more regularly than they used to. And if you put it here, it's a community center sign. It's going to tell you what's going on at the community center. But it's only going to reach, at best, 30 to 35% of the population of Discovery Bay. Because even if you live that way, you're still not going to see the sign, because you don't drive. I never drive by the community center except when I come here for a meeting, because I live off Marina. And so putting it out here doesn't really serve the purpose of why we want the signs to be out there. It just doesn't reach enough of the population, in my opinion. So I think we need to address the challenges of other site locations a little more in depth, because it's hard for us to make a decision when there's so many variables. Like, are we going to have a problem with the county? Are we going to have a problem with Caltrans? We don't know this yet. We haven't done that research. So it's pretty hard to make a conclusive decision at this point in time without knowing what we're up against. What I did do was a little bit of math, and if we were to put a two-sided sign out here, it would be $28,000, you know, comparatively costed, because there's some costs that aren't in here. I understand that. With the 5% discount, it's only about $12,000 more for a second sign. So the first sign cost you $21,000, the second sign cost you $12,000 because of the 5% discount. Oh, when you compare it to the $28,000 for a two-sided sign.
You're talking one-sided.
Two different one-sided signs, exactly. Because we're catching the people coming in because it's on that side of the street. I don't know if I have enough information to be able to make any kind of this reasonable decision at this point. I just really don't think that. I think that putting it out here is, it makes it a community. It's like telling you what's going on at the community center, but it's really not telling the community what's going on in the town.
Any comments?
Yeah. The information we have right now, I in agreement with Director Graves, I don't have enough information. Some of the information I'd like to have is what's the life expectancy of a sign like this? What's the maintenance cost? Who would maintain it? Who's going to be in charge of lighting it up, or how does that work? And if we're not able to inform the people of Discovery Bay West, Lakes and Lake Shores, in that area, I don't have a good feel for a sign at this particular point. I can't go anywhere with it at this moment.
So good feedback. Thank you, guys. And it may be a little premature that we brought that forth, but you see a rough cost, I think, adding the maintenance and how do we manage the sign afterwards, or elements that we've got to go. I would believe, listening to you then, Director Graves, is that you talked about two locations. The third you did not look at as a possibility, Bixler and Highway 4. Did you eliminate that as a possibility?
No, I don't have enough information, because okay. We're talking about there's some stumbling blocks over there that we have. We're just not there yet, but we need to address maybe or maybe not. It might be impossible to put one there.
Yeah.
But I think that's a prime location, because I think, speaking to what Director Pete said, I believe that that's how you're going to catch the people that are at Von Bixler. Now, granted, they can come up Marsh Creek, but they almost all go to the shopping center or the gas station. At some point, you're going to catch a lot more there than you are down here. I think we need, my personal opinion, too, in a perfect world, I'd put a sign there and I'd put one down here at Well 4.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in that area. I'm not sure Well 4 is exactly the right place for it, but I think almost more in it doesn't matter. But that area.
Okay. Okay. And you answered the question I was trying to ask, but didn't do that succinctly. But you were looking at Well 4 in here. I would look at that as a good possibility. One of the things that I did was that I came to almost all, but not all, of the open houses. One of the questions that I ask every person that I bumped into is why, how did you learn about this open house? A majority of the people responded, that means over 50% of them, it was a little bit more than that, said that I learned from the ticker board. That's the construction grade sign down by well four. So it has become a part of our life. Blue algae, Mr. Davies has said, we've conditioned people to look for that and to learn. I think we've got something started, the movement has started. So our task is to go back, figure out the total cost, including electrical run, bottom line, maintenance, not just for the sign itself, but also operational maintenance. How do we maintain it? What does it do to staff to make sure the sign is saying what we do? We also have to look at a procedure for it because there'll be limitations on what can be posted on that. And I'm sure that Rod would help us on that one.
Other comments? Chris?
Yeah, I think that Director Graves and Peace, I think those are good points that we need to get as much exposure in the highest traffic locations as possible. If I was to prioritize just the three that you provided, the staff provided tonight, I would definitely say Highway 4 would probably be my highest priority, and then possibly somewhere towards the entrance of Discovery Bay Boulevard. Another area we may want to consider is down towards Point of Timber on Bixler or farther down, maybe, to get that exposure where people are leaving Safeway. But I think that the Highway 4 is probably the maximum exposure for the community, because at least we know we're exiting entering through the Safeway and the commute patterns. So I think we should look at that. There was kind of some long-term warranties. I can't quote on it if it was 10 years or what on these systems, but these are commercially well-tested out in the field, and this company that's been presented here has got a lot of experience and a lot of hours under their belt with this technology. The technology keeps evolving. It seems like you get more bang for your buck at a lower price as these things develop. The color patterns, I think the red or the color are both nice. Of course, I'd always want to have a color, but I think that, just having a solid monotone type of a display would be good. I don't think the program is going to be that difficult as far as operating this, but we'd have to put together some procedure on the communication standards, I guess, for that device. But the communication committee has been working on this for some time now with staff, and I think these are good, viable solutions for getting the word out on what we're all about. And I think that water and wastewater will be able to command a budget item for this. So I appreciate your time looking at this.
And I think that I agree with Director Peace, though. We can't just cover part of the community. I think we have to be very conscientious of Lakeshore. That's about a third of our population over there. And we need to make sure that it's inclusive in the decision. And so even if we ran into a real huge stumbling block at Highway 4 and Bixler, I would maybe look into some of the things that Director Steele said with regards to, locating one down near the Marsh Creek, maybe down in that area, adding in one here at the entrance to Discovery Bay, so we are at least making an effort to reach all of our constituents.
Yeah, I would agree with the comments that were made. I think we could move ahead with a more in-depth analysis of the two-sign proposal, all inclusive of better-known costs, as well as perhaps contacting some of the local cities that already have these signs. And I think that they may know well what the maintenance requirements are, the operational requirements, the protocols for who could use the sign and what could be put up there, and looking at some at the locations that we talked about. So at this point, is that enough to get you moving more forward without giving you authorization to pull the trigger?
Okay, and we can move forward. This is all about what comes first, the chicken or the egg, and this is the dilemma. Because if we were, for example, to explore the site at Bixler and Highway 4, we would literally have to go through the permit process, the way I understand it, with Caltrans to see what they would approve and what they would not approve at that site. So that's going to take up time. I don't know if there's costs involved in that.
And CEQA.
And CEQA. And we've got the issue of meeting with somebody at the county on will we get permission to be able to put our sign there since we don't own the land. And it requires us getting a contractor bid for the electrical and all those other things.
Well, it's funny, like in terms of moving forward, like Caltrans and the county and stuff like that, I think, you know, Supervisor Burgess's office can help us move through the county without having to go through, getting an approach from them as to how this might work without going through a formal process. The same with the Department of Transportation. We have a local assembly that lives in town here that may be able to help us with the Department of Transportation. Since like, he has a lot of influence in that area. And, you know, I think we can do that informally without spending tons of money on reports and applications and legal fees and everything else. We get a pretty good feedback from them as to, I guess you can move ahead or it's going to be a difficult road to hoe.
I think we can do that, and you know, we'll move forward on that. One of the benefits of this sign company is I believe it's the same sign company that put in the Point of Timber School.
Yes.
Sign. So I think making contact there to see what they do in terms of maintenance, any problems that they've had, warranty experiences, we'll have Kelly contact them and get the information on that.
And you might find out from their clients in terms of the permitting process, because everybody's got a permit for somebody to put in one of their signs.
Right. Okay. We'll work on it a little further and bring our findings back to committee and then on to the board. Thank you.
No, it sounds like the board has a pretty good grasp on some of the challenges involved. The only additional consideration I would bring up is, as you guys are doing your research, actually analyzing the true effectiveness of these signs. You know, how many people are actually reading the signs? How many people are reaching? And if the sign's there just to be there, it's a lot of money to spend. I live next to Timber Point. I never read the sign, but I don't have kids to go there either. So there's a lot of people in this community that only are acknowledged things that are relevant in their own specific world. So before we spend several $100,000 on several signs, you know, maybe we just might want to do a little more research to make sure, you know, is it truly the highest and best effective way to communicate with our community? That's all. You know, just coming out to Summer Jam, I can tell you a lot of people that came through the event, and we had an electronic sign board, don't even read it. They said, we didn't even know there's a concert tonight. I said, well, did you see the signboard out front? Didn't read it. And, you know, so that's just one example of how some people just don't pay attention necessarily. So,
thank you, Brian. Any comments? Okay, moving on. Item number 3, discussion and possible action regarding regional representatives.
Oh, you want to name that?
That's your item.
I can do it. Well, I won't spend any time rehashing this particular issue. You have a staff report before you. I'll just refresh your recollection briefly. At one point in time, we were working through and revising our bylaws with respect to our own committees, standing committees and ad hoc committees here locally at the time. And within your bylaws, you have language that includes what's in your current bylaws as regional committees. We've changed the name now to regional representation. There was some debate and discussion over these particular issues, and board members have been absent over a number of months, and so we wanted to wait till we had a full board so you could have a full discussion. We have a full board, and the full discussion, or the discussion time, is now.
So as I understand it, we've already adopted the policy. It is now up to the board to determine, are these the committees for regional committee appointments, and then for the board members to select where they would like to focus their energies?
No. We have adopted, the board has adopted a policy with respect to standing committees and ad hoc committees. At the meeting where we were discussing that, the regional representation issue was raised. And the board, for lack of a better term, punted on the issue at the time. There were some thoughts about, do we find which committees we want to appoint people to? Do we pay a stipend associated with those for a day of service? How do we report on those? The board directed staff at the time to leave the current policy and procedures in place and not make any change. So what we've had for the last year or plus is still in place, and the representations that you have currently are still in place now. Okay. If there's going to be a change or a modification, which I think there was a suggestion of a modification by you, President Lee, and I believe Member Graves had some issues with that request. Member Mayer had a suggestion on trying to balance the two interests there, and that's what the discussion is about now. Okay. So we can kind of start over from scratch with the with respect to regional representation.
Okay. Discussion from the board.
I'm confused.
Okay.
I wasn't here at the last meeting when this happened. So are you saying that as of today, nothing has changed since I've been on the board? That the policies are still in place? I thought that there was a decision made by the board when I was here that said that, I thought there was a decision made, a vote, there was a vote that was taken and there was a policy put in place. Am I wrong?
Well, my recollection is, and I could have the wrong
recollection,
but at the last meeting where you were not present, you would have made a request for the item to be continued. The item, if I recall correctly, was in fact continued and no decision had been made and we were going to maintain.
We made a decision that the day of service would not be afforded to the regional appointments, but the what was continued was the selection of the committees or the regional appointments, and that's what we were
correct.
Doing now. The stipends were taken away at the last meeting.
That is not my recollection. My recollection was that Member Mayer had suggested that we figure out a appointment process to appoint those specific members and that we would bring it back at a time that there was a full board to discuss whether or not any of those specific appointments would include a day of service compensation.
That's not my recollection.
Okay.
Okay, so we have two recollections here.
In order
to move forward, can we set that issue aside?
Which
the issue of the compensation issue, whether it was a, whether, and someone could go back and look at those, go back to that meeting.
There's no stipends for regional representation.
We have a policy attached.
So can I clarify what I had tried to achieve?
Wait, before you go on to what you wanted to achieve.
Let me look at the policy here real quick, because it is attached in your packet. So let me look at the policy. Give me just a second to read through it and refresh my recollection.
Because what I'm thinking is
you are correct, but I think we're both correct. I think okay. We're saying the same thing. So if you look at section 2 under compensation says director attendance at regional meetings shall only count as a compensated day of service when attendance at a regional meeting is specifically authorized in attendance by the full board.
That's my
understanding is we were coming back to this meeting to figure out which of those regional representation meetings were going to be specifically requested by this board.
Which is what I had asked you.
And I thought I did it right. keep me to task. Keep me to task, so because I don't do everything right. So
that's secondhand how I understood it happened. That's what I expect.
And that's what the policy says that was adopted at the last meeting.
My recollection was that if a representative from this board is to go to a regional meeting, it's authorized by the board on a case-by-case basis. It's not to just pick one of these or two of these and it's automatic and you're going to go every time and represent the board. That's not my recollection.
And I think that's right, but that was the discussion, because if I recall correctly, there was board members that were concerned that agendas come out on a Friday, you've had your meeting on a Wednesday, how are you going to pick which committee? And Member Steele's shaking his head, so at least I'm on the right track, maybe, that we were going to decide if that wasn't, because I believe Member Mayer's thought was that if we decided which committee, that it was difficult to decide who would attend, how you would get the notice, who would make that decision when the agenda came out, if it's in between a meeting. It seemed to be some technical issues associated with how this body decides who would attend and whether or not that attendance is requested at the full board's request and whether it's then compensated. So again, to ignore all of that dialogue, I'm not sure that it makes much sense to try to rehash it and try to figure out what was said. The current policy under compensation is written the way I was directed to write it from this board, result of the last meeting, which is only when service of attendance at a regional meeting is specifically authorized in advance by the full board. I thought we were coming back to figure out, are there any committees that you'd like to, as a board, advance now and say, these are going to be committees that member Leet will always attend and he will be compensated for those. This is a committee that member Mayer will attend and he will be compensated for those. I thought that's what we were coming back and doing now. If that's not the case, then I apologize, but that was my understanding of the board direction.
Mine was that we were going to reaffirm either stay in the committee, the regional committees that we chose last time, or choose new ones. But you're not going to get compensated unless the board takes action, because you don't necessarily going to be, there's not going to be a town or Discovery Bay discussion at these meetings every month. I don't think we've had one since I've been on the board.
And that was my understanding, is that when an issue came up that required someone to get up and speak on behalf of all five board members here, and we pre-authorized it, that would be a compensable event. Otherwise, these are regional meetings, these are the representatives, and they don't, you know, we encourage director participation in them, but they are not compensable events.
So I guess we just need to verify who wants to be in what committee, or what board.
Well, I work for you, so I need direction then with respect to the language that's in the current bylaws, because I'm still scratching my head on how you get to a compensable meeting of a regional committee by one of you members.
By board approval.
That's completely disingenuous, because there's no way possible that this board is going to know those agendas prior to them happening to be able to do that. So that's just why that's even being repeated is ludicrous, because it's not going to happen. So that's very a disingenuous statement.
Well, here's the issue I have. If there's an item on whatever one of these boards is there, and I don't care who's assigned, if they go to that, they can't speak on behalf of this entire board of taking give their opinion about something when the board hasn't had a time to discuss it.
They can go as a representative of the board and absolutely have the authority of being a director of the board when they speak there. And it's interesting that it's been happening for 15 years and you all of a sudden think it can't happen. That's what's interesting. It's been happening since the inception of the district, and now you have decided that it's not proper. Well, that's fine, that's your opinion, but.
No, we haven't decided anything. What we decided is we shouldn't get paid to go there.
Why? Why should you be asking a director to give up a day of service? So why did we make the meetings that we have here with this added burden to staff that we created for these standing committees, why did we make those compensable?
Kevin, we've already had this discussion. I'd better move on to something concurrent.
Excuse me, with due courtesy, sir, I have the opportunity to talk on my behalf. You cannot keep me from speaking as a director.
And I will not.
Okay.
Not long.
Tremendous respect you have, sir. Tremendous respect you have. You're showing...
Kevin, do you want to move on or not?
Again, my point is...
I call a question.
What's the question? Nobody's made a motion. What is it?
I move that we go and select the committees that we may want to participate in on a regional basis. And the compensation for going there would have to be approved by the entire board. There's got to be something on those agendas that is pertinent to the town of Discovery Bay in order to be awarded a day of service.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second that motion.
Now it's time for discussion.
Time for discussion.
Great. So, my question is,
does the effectiveness of the fire district affect the town of Discovery Bay and its holdings? Not a difficult question. Nobody has an answer to that? I contend that it does. And I contend that any decisions that occur within the fire district and the lack of service that we're having and the problem we're having with getting proper funding for the fire district is a direct responsibility of this board with all the assets that we have in this district that we're responsible for. So every meeting affects this district.
I also think that the fire, that's a critical need here, and I can't imagine us not having one of us be completely informed as to the activities on that. And I expect that person that's assigned to that to attend every meeting and provide feedback in those meetings, but also back to us so that we can be fully aware that they are here from Discovery Bay. I can't imagine having to go and ask every meeting to go attend the next fire district meeting and be compensated for a day of service.
Other comments? Mr. Mayor.
So Director Graves has a point on the notification period, the requirement to have a agenda put out. And if it comes out before the meetings, that would require phone calls to everybody to see it or approve. I think that is a catch. It's an issue. What I intended to do, if I can say now on that, is that we look at each of these meetings and we determine whether there is a need for a representative from this board on a continuing basis. And instead of a one-on-one or a one-by-one approval, we could look at that as a board and say that is one that we want a representative at that meeting on a regular basis and vote our approval at that point to be rescinded if we determine that there is no value. So the ability to be able to do that was what I was looking at, not just a cut and dry, no more, it's over. So that was the intent, and I'd still like to see that. And maybe we go by these one at a time, and we take a look at them and say, is there any value? I would say on the P6, I've been attending, the P6 is really about Discovery Bay. I don't know why it's listed as a regional, but that's the way it is. On three different occasions, they only meet once every 3 months, but on the last three meetings, they have brought us into it, the board, asking for help if needed. I have brought back some of the questions that they've given to us. I would hate to see any representation out there. I would go whether a stipend was included or not, because I think it's that critical. But if we can go through one by one and say yay or nay, and maybe that happens tonight, maybe it happens at the next meeting, I think that would put this to rest.
Member Mayor, thank you for that. I should have let you deliver the staff report because that's what I was attempting to say. That's my recollection, so thank you for that. I apologize. And I apologize for my confusion.
And I would like to clarify, and I, of meetings that I attend, I have no problem with that policy. With the only meeting that I'm concerned about is the fire district meeting. The other regional meetings, I would completely negotiate out of and not have any argument about, because they don't hold that same importance. Even though I feel there is some importance, not nearly the importance of the fire district. So I'm not even considering any of the other regional meetings that I've attended in the past. The only one I'm concerned about is the fire district.
My concern is that, let's assume for a moment you continued on with the fire district and there was some sort of discussion revolving around Discovery Bay, etc. And you were there to make a decision one way or another and give your opinion for, against, whatever. We as a board haven't been afforded the opportunity to be informed about that and give you direction as to how this board feels about it. Whether you feel positive, maybe the rest of the board feels negative. So just to go to a meeting and on your own make a decision based on what you're feeling, what input you have, without considering the rest of the board, I don't think is right.
And I can maybe help with that, because that's a common issue that we have with all of our public agencies that we represent. And board members are prohibited from representing the board as a body before any other entity or before newspapers or anything like that. You must put a caveat on any claim or any opinion that you make that I am making the statement as a board member. I will share that with my fellow board members, but no one board member, when they step down for the dais, has any power to do anything. You don't have the authority to take action, commit, bind the town of Discovery Bay. And so if somebody went to a meeting and was asked to make a decision on the spot, they would be required, unless they had action from the board on a prior action, they would be required to say, my opinion as a Discovery Bay board member is X, Y, and Z. I will take it back to the full board for consideration and bring it back to the full board for consideration. So board members are prohibited, regardless of your discussion here in California, from representing the board as an entire body, and if they're only one member, if they haven't been delegated that authority by this body.
That's my exact
point.
Is that if we're going to go to a meeting just to go to the meeting, and we don't have anything that's pertaining to Discovery Bay, then why would I be compensated for going to that meeting when we didn't bring forward to make any decision about Discovery Bay? Comes back and we have our discussion and we send the representative there to specifically state that by all means that should be a compensated day.
So here's the situation. When there was going to be a vote on which stations were to stay open, if Bob Mankin and I had not been at that meeting, it would not have hit the media, social media here in Discovery Bay, and you guys wouldn't even been there. You wouldn't even know about it. 75 people showed up because we hit social media and said, you will not close down Station 59, which is what the board was considering at the time. Now, I didn't go there and say, the board is saying that you can't close that down. But my attendance there kept the best interests of this district in mind. That's all I'm saying. It keeps the best interests of this district in mind. I don't know of any government agency that doesn't work together with its sister agencies in its region when they're affected by each other. I don't understand where this idea is coming from. That you don't need to work. You don't need to understand what's going on in your region. It's baffling to me. I don't get it.
Well, I think that the proposal, as in the motion, allows directors to attend all of these meetings, to voice their opinion as an individual director, and bring back that information to the board. So we can do that anyway.
I want the board to direct the people to be there.
That's the law. This is people who have volunteered to follow these agencies more carefully than other directors and bring back information pertinent to the town of Discovery Bay that's related to the committee names that are listed in the representative list.
And therefore, they are working for the district, and they are a board of directors that's allowed to be compensated for a day of service for doing his job.
I guess. Another point I make is I don't think we need to be compensated for every darn thing we do.
That's a very valid point. And nobody is saying that we should be compensated for everything we do. So it's kind of an irrelevant statement.
So I'm not interested in picking out one versus the other versus maybe we have something, maybe we don't.
I will point out that this board used to attend local meetings such as water, wastewater, such as communications, such as others, or not communications, not a good example, and we're not compensated for it, and this particular board decided that we would now be compensated for that. Every little thing we're doing, we were going to be compensated for that. So I'm hearing a contradictory in statements. I don't understand.
Any other discussion? Motion. We have a second.
Before you take the action, Carol and I were trying to discuss the motion. Can you please repeat it? We're having a little trouble, I think, understanding, or I am anyway.
The motion was to have the board select the different regional committee appointments they would like to participate in. And there would be no compensation for attending those committee meetings, regional committee meetings, unless there was a specific item on that agenda regarding the town of Discovery Bay, and the full board had discussed what was taking place with regard to the town of Discovery Bay at that meeting, then they would be compensated by being authorized to go there.
And I assume that would be the full board prior attending that meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm clear on the motion now. As clear as I was when I presented it.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Any other discussion? We have an answer to one question, is how does that happen? Because of the time limit to get out the agenda and to get full board approval, I don't understand that. I would like that answer.
Well, let's just say the fire district, because that seems to be the hot item. The fire district has to produce their agenda 72 hours in advance, correct?
Correct.
We're on that list, email list. The general manager would be reviewing that, in my opinion. He sees something on that agenda that's pertinent to the town of Discovery Bay, and that agenda is going to, that meeting is going to take place prior to one of our meetings, then I would say that the general manager could call a meeting, special meeting, to discuss the item, right?
So then we would have compensate five board members for a special meeting, and then just to approve one guy to get a stipend. That does not make sense to me.
No, not to approve one guy to get a stipend. Approve one guy to go speak on behalf of the board at the fire department.
So you're saying, okay. My point still valid. You're saying, okay, you're going to call a special district where we all get compensated, a special meeting where we all get compensated. Okay, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Okay, that's your simple motion. If we don't have compensation for these meetings, then there is no compensation. If your only point is you want to be paid to go to meetings, then I think we have a different discussion altogether.
Just for clarity, what Director Graves said is true. If the process that you just defined, five people would get a stipend to determine whether one single person was going to get a stipend.
Or even,
should be talking about the dollars and the cents of it. We can't have a serial meeting. In other words, the general manager can't call each of us individually. If it's that important that this board needs to discuss it, then it's the same as if it would be brought up at a regular meeting. No different than if we had a special meeting to resolve a litigation item. It would be no different.
Is there a way to do it on an ex post facto basis? If a director finds that there is something so important at one of these meetings that he has to go there and get paid to attend that meeting, to represent the board, come to the next board meeting and say, I did it, and ask the board's approval. I'm looking at you, Counselor.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that one through.
There isn't a fire district meeting that everybody shouldn't be at, because the district is going to go defunct, and then everybody's insurance rates are going to get everybody's insurance is going to get canceled, because we'll have no fire coverage here if people aren't paying attention and getting this board to do something that needs to be done. So,
I don't. Your general manager came up with a great answer, and it's the right answer, which is the concern is that, if I understand Member Pease's concern, is that you would be going to that meeting. And in order to be stipend for that meeting, there has to be something significant enough on the agenda that would otherwise require this body to direct a particular director to go and represent this body and therefore thus be compensated. The problem with that is if you do it ex post facto, you would not have given the direction to that member to what to represent the board on, so that doesn't work. Good job.
Good call.
So I'm not sure. If we go back to, so the motion, it's really about the stipend. If we were to look at it and still put in the one clause that says that if it is a meeting that we determine as a board, a majority of the board, that it has to be a representative there on a regular basis, whether we approve this motion now, in the future, can we then go back and say that we believe that we want one person there full time? Is that a doable thing?
You can change this anytime. Like I said, this is our third or fourth time around the horn on this one, and so you can change it at any given time if you find something. The only thing I would ask is if you're going to include the thought of a special meeting being called if an agenda comes out, the motion needs to be amended.
Say that again.
So the motion doesn't include the answer to your question, which is how do we know in advance? What I heard the maker of the motion say is that if there is an agenda that comes out, and we'll just use hypotheticals, if there's an agenda that comes out on Wednesday for a fire district meeting to be held on Monday, that the general manager would be directed, if there is an item on the Wednesday agenda that he sees, to call a special meeting on either Thursday, Friday, or Monday before, or Saturday, Sunday, you can do it any day, to direct a specific board member to attend that meeting and represent the board's interest on a particular topic. That is not included in the maker of the motion's current motion.
But that's ludicrous. To call five people together and pay.
I do not make judgment. I just try to get the clear language.
You use such a harsh term.
Well, I can't is it ludicrous if we have a litigation with the Hoffman Company and we come together as a board specifically for that and we get paid for that?
Well, that's irrelevant, but
no,
it's irrelevant. But we're not talking about a litigation factor. We're talking about a regional. We're talking about a regional meeting.
Yes.
And here's the deal: every meeting. I think I've already stated this. Every meeting that occurs needs representation there. Every meeting that occurs, the assets of this. We're responsible for the assets of this district. The $3 million, $6 million, whatever our assets are worth. If we don't have fire coverage at our plants, then we are neglecting our responsibility. We haven't taken an active role in making sure that our interests are being looked after, then we're neglecting our duty as a board. And if that's what you guys want to do, that's what we'll do.
Okay, if you choose not to attend because you didn't get paid the stipend, we should assign someone else to that important committee.
So you're saying that if we go through this process and you pick a meeting, now it's a mandatory meeting that you go?
No, that's not what I said. That's not at all what I said.
Well, I bet I didn't hear you correctly.
So can I just say, if the motion was reworded, to where no stipend is issued to any of the regional meetings.
That's already happened.
But that's only a motion. If it was amended...
No, it's already happened. You guys already voted on that when I wasn't here because you didn't have the courtesy.
Yeah, let me make the biggest motion.
If it was no stipend, unless the board... And I'm not talking about a special meeting. I keep looking back at this. If we decide as a board that meeting is important enough to have a representative full time, that we have, if the motion had that included in there, that at any given time we can vote to to have someone represent. The option is available. I would tend to agree that.
And isn't the, I've asked council, isn't that?
That's the current language.
That's the current language.
That is the current language. That is the current language.
We don't have to amend it, we just vote.
That's correct.
To amend it, right?
Okay. No, you wouldn't vote to amend it. The language. The language reads, director attendance at regional meetings shall only count as a compensated day of service when attendance at a regional meeting is specifically authorized in advance by the full board.
Okay. So you're covered.
So yeah, that works. It doesn't address your issue.
No, but it still allows me to do that.
It does. Okay. The problem that I'm running into is, because the next question I'm going to get asked as legal counsel is, there was a critical issue on a particular agenda item. I attended this meeting. The board didn't act on it. I'm now bringing it back to the board. Do I get compensated? And the answer is going to be based on this language, no, because you didn't, in advance of that meeting, bring it to the board. The impossibility of that language is what I run into, because you're not going to know about the agenda unless by coincidence,
yes,
the agenda is published on a Tuesday before your regularly scheduled Wednesday meeting, and the meeting's held on a Friday or Monday or a week down the road. If I'm correct, all of these committees, there's six of them, all of these regional meetings aren't going to happen and fall in time with your regular meetings.
That's right. What's your requirement for this meeting tonight? 24 hours, 48
hours? This meeting tonight is 72 hours, 72, and their regular meetings, their regular meetings would be 72. So it would have to be 72 hours in advance of their meeting, because I have to put it on the agenda to consider this. Now, it may be something that I could put on with respect to an urgency item that requires the immediate attention, but again, I will tell you, it gets you back to the special meeting that I'm going to suggest that you're going to have a special meeting, and then you've got everybody gathered again. So okay.
Then the caveat that I had asked before is in there, whether it's worded the way I had said, we still have the capability of doing what I have requested.
Absolutely. At any time you can identify based on this language that a meeting coming up in August of this year by the fire district is really important, and I want to send member mayor to attend that meeting to represent the board on these five issues, and he should be compensated.
And the only other piece that I would like in there is any meeting that we, regional meeting that we attend, that we bring back to the public, the results of the findings, the results, the agenda. In not every case, as I sat out there in the last 2 years, did I see that. I know reports were given back to the head office, but not to the community, and I'd like to see that included there.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Any further discussion? I'll be clear on the motion.
If he adds my last caveat,
I was going to say, is the maker of the, so what I heard is Member Mayer asked for the maker of the motion to amend his motion by including language that says, anybody who attends a regional meeting, because they're appointed to attend that meeting, is required to bring it back and report either orally or written to include in the agenda packet or the materials presented to the full board, which would also then make it available to the public.
So,
Director Peace, are you amenable to that?
I'm amenable, but I would like to specify that it should be also verbal. You mentioned verbal.
Yeah, I'll just tell you that state law requires that you, when you attend these meetings, that you're otherwise obligated to report, and the state law allows you to do it either oral or written. So if somebody can't be present, you can't hold them accountable for not reporting when they submit a written report, or if they submit a written report and they say, I got nothing to say on it tonight, I submitted a written report. That's sufficient under state law.
All right, I'm amenable.
Okay. Second is also amenable. One that we haven't.
So now you're back to further discussion. You've got an amended motion, a second accepting the amended motion. You now have any further discussion.
I have a question for Director Mayer. So are you saying that compensable or not, you're making it, this motion makes it mandatory to bring a report back? If you attend a meeting, you have to bring a report back. Compensable or not?
Only if you are approved by the board to represent.
Which would make it compensable.
Yes.
Well, oh no, I didn't understand that then.
Okay.
If you're required to go.
Totally.
Okay.
So the list that we have now then, with the individuals attending regional committees, we're going to eliminate it, and there is no appointment or volunteer for the regional representation bodies.
That is not what I heard.
No.
So,
but everybody that goes to a meeting,
regardless of whether the board approved it or not,
has to bring back a report.
That's state law. That's required. So if you attend a meeting on behalf of the board, if we've got a list, and the board's going to say, member mayor, you attend the P6 meetings, but you're not being compensated unless you come back to the board. He's going to go to P6 meetings. He's going to report. And if there's an item on the agenda at the next upcoming meeting and he asks for board authorization, he'll then be back. He'll then be compensated and report.
What would that second meeting be?
Got it. Clear to me.
So we're clear. You have any further discussion? No further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Two no. Motion approved 3-2. So now we have before us the list of the committees for the regional committee assignments. And I believe the protocol in the past has been for selection, president, vice president, and then an order of seniority. So myself, Director Graves, Director Steele, Director Peace, and then Director Mayer.
And the rookie.
So we have the 2, 4, 6, 8 committees. So we'll just go through.
I have nine on my list.
The East County Water Management Agency.
It has a mandatory attendance.
Yeah. You know, and I'd like to revisit that at some point, but right now it's president and vice president.
Right.
Okay. So that one is that decided by.
By them. Actually, by them.
It's by them. That's, you are correct. I apologize. Okay. Thank you.
So, moving along, I will select Contra Costa County Special Districts. Director Graves.
Yeah, I'm not clear on the motion we just passed, which is why I voted no for it, because I don't understand what it was. I have to ask. So, mm-hmm. There's no mandatory reporting unless you're compensated for that meeting, correct? You can't force me to represent the town and come bring back a meeting and say that's
if you don't attend, you have nothing to report.
If I what?
If you don't attend, you have nothing to report.
If I attend, I still have no obligation to bring a report back here.
Unless you're compensated.
Exactly. So I'm picking a fire district.
No. That I believe, and I will need to research that and make sure that I'm correct. I'm not positive about everything. I don't run around with everything in my head, but I believe that's incorrect. If this body appoints and assigns an individual of this board to attend a meeting on behalf of this board, and this is what we're doing here, there is a state requirement that you report back to the public. The compensation is a separate issue. So I believe that you are, Andy, do you know off the top of your head?
I don't believe that's true.
Do you know off the top of your head? Yeah.
We'll even bring that back.
I will have to bring that back, but if you sign up for it now, you can always change it later if you decide that you don't want it. Or so I'll find that out for sure. Okay.
Director Steele.
This is what?
Thanks. I'll continue my assignment as your representative.
Can you get these notes on my Kindle?
Director Peace.
I'll choose the transportation agent.
Director Mayer, E6. Okay, we're back to me. I'll stick with code enforcement. Director Graves.
Well, heck, I'll just take the aviation advisory committee.
Director Steele.
I'll be alternate for aviation advisory.
I'll be the alternate for Special District Association.
Director Mayer.
School District.
Okay, I will be, I'll take alternate on East County Fire.
I will take who took school district? Somebody take it? I'll take alternate school district.
Director Steele?
I'll be alternate for the transportation.
Peace.
What do we have left?
Peace, we have code enforcement, we have LAFCO, and P6.
Alternate for code enforcement.
Code enforcement. Director Mayor?
LAFCO.
Which leaves me with the alternate for P6. Now I think we are complete. Does Secretary think I'm complete?
You can please.
Did I get all the stats?
Yes.
Thank you.
Did you get them all?
I think I got them all.
While he's counting, I'd like to make an official statement. The Warriors just won 118 and 113.
That's important news.
For those of us taping, you just ran the game for us.
Excuse me, let me preface that with spoiler alert.
You just freed up the rest of your evening.
Basketball, I.
So you were being facetious.
I was.
I felt bad there for a second.
Did you? No, I wouldn't do that to you. I would have stopped you because I knew you were. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Manager's report.
I'm sorry. We need a motion and a second on the appointments.
Move for approval.
Second.
Comment, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Complete. H1 budget. General manager.
I'd like to invite Dina up to brief you on that.
Okay, so before you is the preliminary budget. We did a comprehensive review of it over the workshop, and so I brought back to you some of those changes. And so I will move through pretty quickly and highlight those changes that I made. Okay. So if we want to turn to page 2. The water storage capacity, I updated it. I did call over to Bernie and we updated it to 2.5 million gallons treated and about 900 million gallons per year. So the whole paragraph is in there. Okay. We'd like to move to page 15. I added my transmittal letter. It's about 3 pages long. Just give you the update of the board of what's been happening. What's going to happen for the new current budget season and then some accomplishments that we've done in the last year. Okay. Page 25. That is the minimum wage adjustment. What I did was I added a key at the bottom that actually coded the green, the blue, and the red and what they represent in the table. If we move to page 27, I updated the pie chart.
Looks much better.
Thank you. All the old guys say, nice job.
All right, so all the pie chart has colors. I broke out the pie pieces a little bit more. What I also did, if you want to just look at page 28, is I changed the blue to blue and red.
Okay.
You know, even though Texans don't like red, I thought that was the best color and that would show up here. So along with that, if you look at that same table, as I added the actuals, the budget, the actuals to date, the budget in those columns so that you can see what references what. As well as the map has that there. And this is fluid throughout the entire document.
Okay.
All right. Let's go page 29. Everything with zero budget dollars has been removed. So,
much cleaner.
Yes, so it's a little bit cleaner. So, and the reason why I left those $0 is because I do pull everything out of the Excel spreadsheet and I don't want to miss a category. So, I usually leave it that way until the very end and then, you know, clean it off later. But yes, so everything's cleaner there. Let's see, page 36. Before I had it under the reserve, the developer fees, I actually pulled that out. And then down below, I explained the reserves and then explained the developer fees. So I just kind of broke that out a little bit that makes a little more sense that way. Okay. And then last but not least, page 45 is writing and taking zone 8. I actually looked at the Department of Finance today and I saw that they had their updated sheet. So I updated the entire zone 8 revenue and all the tables associated with it. So the appropriations limit and the calculation, I just did that very quickly and I updated everything. So their revenue debt would be about $630,000 that we'll be taking. And that completes the changes that I made.
Very good.
Hold on. So you have a couple of weeks to look at it and then we'll adopt the budget the next budget meeting. So if there are any changes, please feel free to visit, email, and let me know.
Great job.
Okay, we'll bring Virgil up to that.
For the water conservation for April, the town had a 44% reduction as it compares to the usage April of 2013. For May, which we just got this week, we had a 27%. Our volume of water that we pumped out of the ground for May almost doubled what we did in April. So hence, we only had a 27% reduction as compared to 2013. So that's, you're up to date on that. As we're still doing very well as a community. There are many communities who do not report to the state. I'm not sure what the state's going to do in that report. I believe they started the fine process on a couple of them. I'm not sure where that's going to go. But as a whole, this community is doing very well on water reduction. Any questions?
Yeah, Virgil, did we see a hit in May of last year, do you know?
I did not look at that. I think a lot of it is because we had more rain this time than compared to last year, but I don't recall that, so I'd have to get back to you on that. Anything else?
Thank you, Virgil. Thank you. Awesome. With informational items, standing committee reports. I have another reportable. I attended the East County Water Management Association meeting on May 25th and had a lot of discussion about potential grant opportunities, none of which were particularly related to Town of Discovery Bay, but other agencies are pursuing grants at an accelerated rate, I think, as the economy gets them in different areas for different reasons. The other item is that yours truly was elected to the governing board of the East County Water Management Association. I think I was forced into it. It was not.
I think so.
My campaign to not be elected did work. But anyway, I think the association moved forward very well. Let's see. General Manager's report, no?
No, sir.
Correspondence is listed. Are there any future agenda items? Hearing none. Let's see. Legal counsel moving to a closed session.
Thank you. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session for the agenda item listed as 01.